Hey, what do we see about these guys? They're clothed with sackcloth. They're spirit-filled and spirit-led. People are trying to kill them. People hate what they have to say, but they can't hurt them because God protects them, and God protected them all the way until the end of their 1260 days, until the end of their 3.5 years, and then God allowed them to be harmed. But then what happens?
There is truth, there is truth, there is love.
In the midst of the wrath of God that is being poured out during the tribulation period that's described in the book of Revelation, there will be two mighty messengers of God who are pointing the way to Jesus. For 3.5 years, they'll be preaching and doing miraculous works designed to turn people to the Savior. But the world is going to absolutely hate them. You're listening to From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. And in today's message, we're going to gain deeper understanding of who these witnesses really are, what their purpose is, and how we can be witnesses for Christ here and now, when the audience is more receptive, to say the least. The lesson today is entitled, The Two Witnesses in the Tribulation. It's from Pastor Jeff's new 11-message series, Revelation, The Triumph of the Lamb. Now, this series is also just one of our special thank you gifts this month. You can find out more when you go to fromhisheart.org. Now, though, open your Bible to the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation. Here again is Pastor Jeff Shreve.
We're in a series on the book of the Revelation. We're talking about future things. And the Bible speaks of a future day called the tribulation. It's 7 years in duration. And in the midst of all that, we read about two witnesses. And so we ask ourselves this question, what do we learn from the two witnesses of the tribulation? Now I want you to see three characteristics of these witnesses so that we can learn three lessons together. First characteristic, they are clothed with sackcloth. Clothed with sackcloth. Look at verse 3 again. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1260 days clothed in sackcloth. It's what the people, especially in the Old Testament, would wear for two reasons. First of all, they would wear it to represent mourning and sorrow. If you were mourning the death of a loved one, you would often put on sackcloth. But also, it depicts and represents repentance and contrition. The two witnesses, very first thing we learn about them, their ministry lasts for 1,260 days, 3.5 years, and they're clothed in sackcloth because this is a time for mourning, for sorrow, for repentance, for humility, for getting right with God because the end is coming soon. Second characteristic of these witnesses, they are spirit-filled and spirit-led. Now we read in verse 4, because the curiosity gets perked up and peaked when you're talking about these two witnesses. And the question that people have had over the centuries is, who are these guys? Verse 4 tells us. It says, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. That is referring to an Old Testament book, the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. God used that same word picture, the lampstand and the olive trees. He used that when he spoke to Joshua, the high priest, and Zerubbabel, the prince. And so what the Lord is saying in Zechariah 4, the famous verse, Zechariah 4, verse 6, it's not by might nor my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. How are you going to rebuild Jerusalem? How are you going to rebuild the temple? Not by your might, not by your power, by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. They are spirit-filled and they are spirit-led. And their ministry is one of power, it's one of plagues, and it's one of deja vu. Look at verse 5. And if anyone desires to harm them, fire proceeds out of their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone would desire to harm them in this manner, he must be killed. These have the power to shut up the sky in order that rain may not fall during the days of their prophesying. And they have the power over the waters to turn them into blood and to smite the earth with every plague as often as they desire. Well, who did that in the Old Testament? Moses. He was the guy that God used to call down the plagues upon the Egyptians. And then Elijah, what was the mark of his ministry? Well, he said that and prayed that there would be no rain, and there didn't fall any rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. He was the prophet who would call down fire. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. They were with Jesus as he was getting ready to go to the cross. And I personally believe that's who we're reading about. And their ministry, although it's filled with power and it's filled with plagues, and it's filled with things that we've seen and heard before, all of it, just as Jesus' miracles, all of them were for one main purpose: to point the way, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. And so their ministry is to turn men to the Savior. Something to remember about God and the fact that there's grace even in wrath. You know, when we think about these guys being spirit-filled and spirit-led, now they're different from you and me. They're different from anybody else in this time of tribulation. But the principles still apply. God wants you to be spirit-filled and spirit-led. He wants me to be spirit-filled and spirit-led. Just they're called the two witnesses. We're called to be witnesses. Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." We witness in two ways: by our life and by our lips. It's not your life without your lips. It's not your lips without your life. It's those things together. The way you live, the way you conduct yourself, the way you treat people, and what comes out of your mouth as you tell people about Jesus who's mighty to save. Those two things. So we shine for Christ. We share the story of the good news of Jesus Christ. We share about his love, and we share the bad news that unless you receive Christ, you're going to die and go to hell forever. Why? Because you're a sinner before a holy God. That's why. Because all of us are where Isaiah was. We just don't recognize it. Woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Everyone you meet outside of Christ, he's in serious trouble. She's in serious trouble, but so many of them don't see it. And they think they're okay, but they're not okay. And unless you repent, Jesus said, you will all likewise perish. Hey, what do we see about these guys? They're clothed with sackcloth. They're spirit-filled and spirit-led. And thirdly, they fulfill their mission. They fulfill their mission and their ministry. I like what it says in verse 7. And when they have finished their testimony. People are trying to kill them. People hate what they have to say. But they can't hurt them. Because the fire that falls. Because God protects them, and God protected them all the way until the end of their 1260 days, until the end of their 3.5 years, and then God allowed them to be harmed. Listen, the man, the woman, the boy, the girl who is sold out to the Lord Jesus, you are indestructible until God says, "You've completed what I wanted you to do." We can be confident. You know, sometimes you'll have people that will go into the mission field and they'll go in very dangerous places. And it can be really hard for mom and dad when son or daughter says, "I want to go to the mission field into a very difficult place in a Muslim country." But listen, if God calls that boy, that girl, then you can know that they are going to be indestructible as long as they're doing what God wants them to do. And when God's done with what he wants them to do, he'll take them home. So you don't need to fear. You fulfill your mission. They did. But then what happens? Look again at verse 7. And when they have finished their testimony, the beast, first time we read that word in the book of the Revelation, the beast that comes up out of the abyss, the beast is the Antichrist, will make war with them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city which mystically is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Now, we might not get it if it just said mystically was called Sodom and Egypt. We say, I don't know where that is. Where their Lord was crucified, we know where that was. That was Jerusalem. And so they're going to be killed in Jerusalem. And it says, and those from the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days and will not permit their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. The beast, the Antichrist, is going to wage war with them and defeat them. God will allow the Antichrist to defeat them. And the people will ooh and ah over the Antichrist. And the refrain concerning the Antichrist is this, as the people worship him, who is like the beast and who is able to wage war with him? Man, he took out the two witnesses, the ones that no one could mess with. He killed them. And so the Antichrist kills them, but they don't allow them to be buried. To a Jew, the ultimate diss would be desecrating the body, taking a dead body and not giving it the proper burial. Well, here you have the two witnesses, 3.5 years. These guys are some kind of messengers, some kind of prophets, but they're just dumped in the street. People come from everywhere to see these guys. Why? Because they were tormenting the whole earth, the scripture says. They hated them. They wanted them gone, and the beast kills them, and so they are so glad. And the people will rejoice and celebrate their deaths. Look at verse 10. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry. They're going to have a big party, and they will send gifts to one another because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. I mean, they were casting down plagues any time they desired. And so there was great torment. That word torment is the same word that's used in Revelation 20, verse 10, that talks about hell and the torment in hell. These people were having hell on earth from these two witnesses. And so when they die, they throw a party and they celebrate. And it's like Christmas time. They give gifts to one another. The people rejoice and celebrate. But the Lord gets the last laugh. The Lord will be glorified. And it says in verse 11, and after the 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell upon those who were beholding them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, come up here. And they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And in that hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell, and 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. You know what God does for these two witnesses? He gives them a very mini rapture. You know, Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Jesus went up to heaven in a cloud. And here these guys are dead, and everybody's celebrating. Ding dong, the witnesses are dead. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of the celebration, and it's seen all over because it'll be on every news program and everyone's viral video. Everyone in the world will see it. Then all of a sudden, the life comes back. The breath of God comes into them. They begin to start moving, and their rigor mortis goes away, and their blood starts pumping again. And all of a sudden, they stand to their feet, and people are scared to death. And the Lord says, come up here. And they're taken to heaven. The people hear the voice, and they see them go up to heaven. And it says in verse 12, and their enemies beheld them. That word means to consider, to acknowledge. And here's what God is saying, I believe, from this rapture of the two witnesses. The Lord is saying this. There came a rapture of my church before all this started. And you guys explained it away. See, when the rapture hits, we don't know when that's coming. It could come at any moment. When that hits and hundreds of millions are gone from this earth, just like that, well, the earth is thrown into chaos. You can't take out 400 million people and there be no ripple effect. There are going to be ripple effects, and families are going to be torn apart, and people are going to have the question, what happened? Where did they go? And no doubt the Antichrist will come up with something that sounds so good and so plausible, something that sounds like this: those people were taken away in judgment. God was judging them. Why? Because they're holding us back from progress. Those people who believe this old book, those people who say there's only one way to heaven, they were taken away. They were taken out. But God is saying, uh-uh. And you're going to see it and behold it yourself, because I'm raising up my two witnesses and I'm telling them, a voice from heaven, come up here. And I'm taking them to heaven. They're not going down to hell. And it is going to be an amazing thing. And the people are going to be scared to death. From a party to a panic, from great festivities to great fear. And all that happens just like that. And then there's a great earthquake. Verse 13, and in that hour there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city of Jerusalem fell, and 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake. You know, I read that, and I thought, well, that's not very many. Because it says when the fourth seal was broken, death and Hades followed after death, that a fourth of the earth died. So a fourth of the earth, we said that was like 1.75 billion people. Well, that's a bunch. 7,000 is not very many. Why does it say that? Because it says this, and it says 7,000 people, and the word in the Greek means named men. Known people, 7,000 people who were named, who were known, because it's going to be a big party. The celebrities are going to come in, and the dignitaries are going to come in, people that the world knows. Those 7,000 died in the earthquake. And when that happens, there's tremendous fear that's thrust into the hearts of the people, and they give glory to God. Now, I don't know if they repent. It says over and over in Revelation, especially in chapter 16, when the bowls come out, the bowls of judgment, that they did not repent. They're gnawing their tongues in pain, and they curse God and blaspheme God. They don't repent. So maybe they're just giving God glory, but they're not really giving God their hearts. Or maybe it could be some there in Jerusalem say, this is of God. I'm going to follow Jesus. Maybe that happens. But you know, in a service like this, as we preach and we talk about judgment that's coming, deservedly so, on sin. And as we said last week, the fire fell on Jesus on the cross at Calvary. And if you will put your faith where God puts his son, you'll put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the fire won't fall on you because it fell on Jesus. But if you don't, the fire is going to fall on you. So here you are and you say, well, what do I do? So I want to speak to two groups just in closing. First group, you've never given your heart and life to Jesus. You're just kind of thinking about this stuff, or you have a knowledge of God in your head, but you've denied the power thereof. It's not real in your heart. That's the way I was for years and years. I believed all these things about Jesus, but it was in my head. I believed in Jesus like I believed in George Washington. No one in this room denies that George Washington was a father of our country, first president of the United States. I mean, he lived. He's real. How many of you trusting George Washington for anything? None of us. We don't trust him for anything. He's just a guy in history, a guy in the book. That's the way a lot of people believe about Jesus. He's just a guy who lived in history. You're not trusting him for anything, much less eternal life. And see, this is a wake-up call for you. What are you going to do? Because if you reject, you say, well, I'll get saved during the tribulation. You might. And let me tell you something. For most people during the tribulation, you will pay with your blood to put your faith and trust in Christ. They don't cheer you. They chase you so that they can execute you. It's serious business during the tribulation. And so here you are and you say, well, I'm not sure about my relationship with Jesus. As one man told me when Tim Lee was here, he said, what he said that cinched it for me, he said, I was 90% sure that I was saved. And Tim Lee said from this platform, if you're 90% sure you're saved, you're 100% lost. You don't want to go into eternity 90% sure. You want to be 100% sure that you've given your heart and life to Christ. And so my friend said, man, when he said that, I knew I needed to pray and get things right. And he went home to tell his mom, and he led her to the Lord. That's awesome. So that's the first group. You're not saved. You need to be. And this is not meant to scare believers. The book of the Revelation is not meant to scare believers, but it's meant to scare unbelievers. Because if you can read this, knowing that this is going to happen and not be scared, you have room to rent upstairs unfurnished. I mean, this is not something to laugh about. This is something that's going to be serious and horrible. So what's the second group of people? The second group of people is the group where you know you're saved. You know that Jesus is real in your heart, but you're not sold out to him. I mean, you're just singing the Doobie Brothers. Jesus is just all right with me. Listen, Jesus doesn't, he's not interested in being just all right with you. He is God. He wants you to sell out to him, to shine, to share, to be the witness that he wants you to be. He wants you to be filled with his spirit. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. So you need to abide in me so my life will flow through you, because if you don't do that, live a surrendered life to me, I can't use you. And God wants to use you. That's an amazing thing when you think about it. God wants to use you, little old me. We have nothing to offer God except surrender. And that's all he needs. The best ability is simple availability. It's just saying, Jesus, here I am. Use me. Send me. I want to shine and I want to share until you come again.
If you're in that second group of people that Pastor Jeff just described, and you know that you're saved and that Jesus is the Lord and Savior of your life, then God sees you through the righteousness of his Son and does not see you through the eyes of your sin. But if you're in that first group of people who don't know Jesus Christ in a personal way, we want to earnestly invite you to receive Jesus Christ today, right now, through repentance and faith. Thank him for saving you, and then begin your journey of faith that will be an unspeakable joy to your heart and bring you peace and purpose each and every day. To find out more about what it really means to surrender to Jesus, please go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. There, you're going to learn why falling in love with him is the greatest love that you'll ever have. God bless you. Well, today you heard part two of the lesson called The Two Witnesses in the Tribulation from Pastor Jeff Shreve's new series, Revelation, The Triumph of the Lamb. Do you have questions about the rapture, the tribulation, the Antichrist, the glorious return of Jesus, the millennial reign, and more? Well, Pastor Jeff Shreve has the answers for you in this new extensive study of Revelation called Revelation, The Triumph of the Lamb. It's available to you in multiple formats, CD, DVD, MP3 download, or on a USB flash drive as our special gift of thanks for your support of $50 or more to the ongoing outreach of From His Heart this month. And with that gift and this series, we'll also send you the booklet, How Near is the End, from Pastor Jeff. To get these new inspiring resources, call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE. Or go to fromhisheart.org and be prepared for an education in the future and what will happen. Call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org. And of course, we want to thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, and we're all in favor of you being here with us tomorrow for the next timely lesson from Pastor Jeff's Revelation series in a message called The Dark Prince. Right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and he has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that. Go to FromHisHeart.org.